No! Well, 10 beers.
My advice to you, start drinking heavy. I'm getting another beer. You want one?
Now, whose ass I gotta kiss to get myself a beer?
Yeah, we're live. Okay, welcome to BigFoamyHead.com.
Show 18.
Stout beers and the men who drink them.
Isn't it 19, though?
19. It's 18 or 19, depends on if you count the lost episode.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So we're drinking stout beer.
Yes, we are.
And so we've got four stouts that you brought over three, and I added the fourth. One of the stouts, the very first stout we're leading off with, is your homebrewed Rick's double chocolate oatmeal stout with raspberry.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You got it. That is, don't try that at home.
And this was my Christmas beer. I brewed it specifically for the season. So
yeah,
we're into the Christmas
and
season.
It smells great. We got a glass of it in front of us. We're going to start on it. And we got three others, the Young's double chocolate stout, Sam Smith's oatmeal stout, and a Dogfish Head chicory stout.
Okay. I figured having the double chocolate, well, A, I couldn't find a double chocolate oatmeal stout, so I figured having both of them together would give us kind of characteristics that we should find in the homebrew.
And I just had a drink of your beer, and it's like drinking like a chocolate raspberry truffle or something. I mean, it's good. It's good. This is a contender for the Chick Beer Show. I mean, this is good stuff. And we have our in-studio guest banging the microphone, Thomas Gary, who will thrill us later with his adventures in homebrewing.
We'll have an interview with Tom here in a few minutes.
That's right, whether he likes it or not. Once we get a couple of beers into him, he'll loosen up. And we also got barbecue review with a scary incident that Rick had with some airport barbecue. We got a homebrewer's corner, and we've got a guy that's going to hopefully be joining us on the show. He's we're working our way through the negotiations. And then we got some beer news, and we're going to talk about Christmas. So I had this up. I looked this up while you were out because we had the Imperial Stout Show, and we were all knowledgeable about that and where it came from. But we really didn't address stout itself. And I was under the mistaken assumption that stout came before porter. And so I went to the internet, where all information flows, and looked up what is a stout. And we were talking about this before we started the show. And it leads off pretty much what we thought. Stout is a dark beer made using roasted malts or roast barley, originally a variant of porter beer, which I thought it was the other way around.
Yeah, so, porter was kind of weaker stout.
Yeah, okay. So porter then was first recorded as being made and sold in London in the 1730s, became popular in Great Britain and Ireland. And it's, you know, it's a bit popular over here, but I'd say stout is definitely more popular now here than porter, or you can find it more.
Well, it's growing with the craft beer industry, but it's definitely not as popular as your macro brews like Budweiser's and all that, which are anything but stout.
All right, well, we're talking about good beer.
true.
So it says here the history of this, and this is on Wikipedia. The way I did this was I went to Google and typed, what is stout beer, and Wikipedia came up first. It says, stout originally meant proud or brave, but later, after the 14th century, stout came to mean strong. The first use of the word stout about beer was the stout-porter brewed by Guinness of Ireland in 1820. Okay, everybody knows Guinness stout, right? But what we didn't know was that Guinness had been brewing porter since 1759, so it was roughly 60 years later before they made their very first stout, and it was a stout porter. And apparently stout was just an adjective back then and could be related to any kind of beer as long as it was strong. In the UK, it's possible to find a stout pale ale, for example. And eventually stout came to be associated with the type of beer, much like we're drinking with the dark beer, roast malts, or barley. And it's got the roasty flavor. So that's the big thing about stout.
And don't be afraid of the dark, you know, as people say, it doesn't mean that it's more bitter or whatever. It just is more flavorful. Actually, it's more malty than your IPAs, which your Pilsner drinkers are going to think are going to be like a Pilsner because they look the same, but they're not.
And it can, one of the things that it says on here is it has a higher alcohol content, which with a lot of malt, you can get a lot of alcohol. And this lists a couple of stouts, which I knew about. Irish stout, which, Tom, you brewed one. That's what you brought to one of these neighborhood things. Imperial Stout, which we drank far too many of the other day. Milk Stout, which I've heard of. I can't recall if I've had one. Oatmeal Stout, which we're enjoying. Chocolate Stout, which your beer, Rick, is oatmeal and chocolate.
Chocolate, right.
And it's very good.
Beauty
and coffee. Well, and the coffee stout, which is kind of like I'd always thought was a porter, more, you know, where you taste more coffee. But this last one is just nasty. Oyster stout. Apparently, there is a stout that some people drink, which is a stout related to oysters. This can mean that parts of oysters are added to the brewing process, or simply that the taste is matching with oysters. I don't know about an oyster beer.
That doesn't sound good to
me. I think that's just a little over the top.
Or maybe they're just putting the oyster shell in to change the water chemistry or something.
Yeah.
Speaking
now,
of water chemistry, a little cross-show plug here. I was listening to Basic Brewing Radio.
Right.
James Spencer was interviewing John Palmer, who has a free for everybody how to brew beer book.
And that book is called How to Brew.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. I'm glad you were testing.
I read that.
He was testing.
That's right.
Okay. Anyway, he was mentioning that John Palmer was, that the whole reason people even started measuring the pH of water was for brewing beer. Okay.
Yeah, we're good.
So that's why your Irish beers are stouts and darks, because that's what brewed best in their, I guess, high alkalinity water.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Czech Republic, they brewed pilsners and things like that, which came out lighter, paler. So
okay.
It all kind of depends on where you came from, where the water is good.
Let's take a little musical break and listen to Lavelle White singing a cover of Memphis on Box Tops, Soul Deep.
Lavelle White.
We cracked open our Young's Double Chocolate Stout.
Right.
And we are moving into the barbecue section of the show.
Yeah, and Tom was just mentioning this. The double chocolate is something you can find pretty much anywhere. Your brew is not available in stores near you. It's only available in your garage.
true.
But exactly this Young's Double Chocolate is it's a good beer that you can find pretty much anywhere here. Mm-hmm. It's carried in our local Schnucks. And, you know, I couldn't say in other places about grocery stores, but I think this is one that would be an easier beer to find. And it's pretty mainstream. My little gift beer pack I'm going to talk about later. It's got a Young's Double Chocolate Stout in there.
To contrast this against mine, it's probably about the same color. I think mm-hmm. the head is a little yeah. more stable, sticking around a little longer.
Yeah.
And maybe a little finer bubbles. But I'm getting a lot of chocolate out of it.
There's a lot of chocolate. And a common misconception when you see the word chocolate stout is there's not actually chocolate in it. According to Wikipedia, it's the grains, the type of grains. You can buy chocolate malt. There's no chocolate. But some people have actually added chocolate to kind of give it a little it's a little gimmicky thing.
Well, my kit had cocoa in it.
Did
you remember
really?
That? Yeah, don't you remember reading the ingredients
right. sure
and saying
did.
It sounded
yeah.
like a cookie?
But so. And that's one of the things I've noticed about Stout is that you can get real creative, and one of the ones we're going to drink later, it's got a couple little things added to it. So speaking of good tasting stuff, it's time to talk about barbecue. And we love our barbecue.
Yes, we do. There are some standards in the Memphis area.
Right.
And we've talked about them.
We have. We've talked about what's local and what's touristy. And one of the ones that both locals and tourists alike like is
Corky's.
Corky's.
Always good.
Always good.
Great brand name.
They were one of the original people to pioneer shipping barbecue via mm-hmm. FedEx.
You can get it overnight.
Yep. And so, you know, they're kind of like, you know what you're going to get into.
Yeah, they branched out. They're all over our local area with yep. smaller yep. stores, and I saw them down in Biloxi.
They are in permeating throughout the South, and they're in airports. But you had a not-so-good Corky's experience.
Yeah, I was flying on Sunday, and I said, there's Corky's. I'm going to try some barbecue mm-hmm. before I leave town. I'm hungry.
Right.
And it was the most awful experience I ever had.
But
the ribs were just bad.
But this wasn't at a Corky's restaurant.
No.
It was at the airport.
Yeah, so I need to kind of let these guys know that they've got yeah. some kind of quality issue going on with yeah. What they're doing at the airport. Because
yeah.
I was violently sick for like 2 days. So, yeah.
because of the bad barbecue.
I'm not saying it was because of their barbecue. Maybe I got yeah. a bug, maybe something. Yeah. But,
but the coincidence was, might have been a little much.
It was just awful.
Well, you know, we're going to give them another chance, and of course, if they want to front us some barbecue to reconsider, we'll take them up on that.
Well, I just want to tell people that Corky's normally is good, but avoid
but yeah.
those,
airport barbecue
kiosks at the airport.
It says airport barbecue. Try it at your own risk.
Yeah,
I wanted to touch base about. Our local paper, The Commercial Appeal, has a blog section, and we have a food critic. I'd call her a new food critic, but I think she's been here like a year and a half now, maybe 2 years, Leslie Kelly. And Leslie, I don't recall where she came from, but I know it wasn't here in the South, but ever since she's been here, she has adopted our ways and has gotten almost fanatical about barbecue. She writes a wonderful review column. In the paper, and she has written so much on her blog about barbecue, they made her do a separate barbecue blog. So it's something for people who listen to the show. If you want to really kind of get in touch with what the barbecue scene is in Memphis, go to commercialappeal.com, click on blogs, and scroll down, and you'll see the barbecue blog. And hopefully we'll get to talk to Leslie one of these days. But I wanted to, since we didn't cook anything, again, it's we're really getting into the cold weather around here. We're afraid to go outside and fire up the grill. But she's got a recipe here, and this, I think, is just, you know, barbecue. We talked about barbecue spaghetti last show. This is really unique and could not be easier to make. Order you some Corky's Barbecue. Have it shipped in. Go to the stove. Buy you a sweet onion and a package of wonton wrappers. And this is how you make Memphis wontons. You mix the pork and the onions in the amounts that you prefer. Place a teaspoon or so of the meat mixture in the center of the wonton. Fold it up and deep fry that thing. Serve it with your favorite barbecue sauce. And Leslie recommends the Barbecue Shop sauce.
Where, excellent sauce.
We know we like the Barbecue Shop.
We've done a review from there.
Right. But that's just a little sample of the types of recipes and things that she's got. And I saw this one. Of course, this is really wild. The best place to eat barbecue in Memphis. I thought, oh, my God, a food reviewer telling the best place to eat barbecue in Memphis. And it turned out to be the best place to eat barbecue in Memphis was on the bluffs of the Mississippi for a benefit. She wasn't plugging a plate. A barbecue place. She was promoting an environment.
An event. Okay.
Yeah.
Charitable event, no doubt.
Yeah. And so that's it. That's all I got on the barbecue scene. I got some more music coming up, and these are not local guys, but they're near local. They're Macomb, Mississippi natives. This is Omar and the Howlers. These guys have been around forever, and they're a real rock and blues type of band. And this is Omar and the Howlers' Big Town Shakedown.
Big town shit.
Straight Up Girls. Well, we've got quite a few more people in here with us for this segment of the program.
We have the photographers.
That's right. We've got the staff photographers and publicity
the
people.
Head MySpace.
That's right.
Coming to you very soon.
Coming to you soon. A MySpace for big MySpace.com. Big Foamy Head.
Courtesy of our web designer.
That's right. Molly Pepper and Andy Pepper. Anyway, we're now into the Homebrewers Corner section. What a cheesy name, but I hadn't thought anything better. And we hear Rick talk about homebrewing a lot, and me to a lesser extent because I'm not as good as him at it. And want to introduce a couple of people. One of them is not here, but will be joining us via internet directly on this show or another one is Mr. Good Beer. Like Mr. Good Ranch, yet beer. Mr. Good Beer is also known as Mike Snyder. Mike has a website, MrGoodBeer.com. That's MrGoodBeer.com. And Mike has been
known. So his dad's name is not Beer.
No, his dad's name is not Beer. It's Snyder. But Mike got into brewing years ago, and he has got the resume. He was an award-winning brewmaster for 10 years. He's author of Beer Inside, a collection of food recipes containing beer, and was a certified beer judge for over 10 years. Mike has also been a webmaster since the early 1990s and is currently the webmaster for MrGoodBeer.com. And this is a website that I would highly recommend to anyone who has the least interest in beer or home brewing. It's filled with information. It's kind of like a little hunt for information when you go to it. He's got so many links and so many things all over it. And I got to tell you how it came about to this.
Well, first, for those of us with short attention spans, what's the website again?
MrGoodBeer.com, and it's M-R Good Beer. Not, don't spell out Mr. M-R Good Beer.
You told me to look that up this afternoon.
I did.
As soon as I got back to my desk, I forgot.
You forgot. You knew it had something to do with beer.
Yeah.
But that was it. Okay, so remember, if you remember Mr. Good Ranch, you can remember Mr. Good Beer. So Mike has run in this website. He has taken a lot of his experience that he has, distilled this down. And you like how I worked that in there? Distilled beer?
Distilled, yes.
Okay. He's put this into an easy-to-read form for anybody to get into and learn a little bit more about beer. Even if you aren't going to homebrew, he's got sections about how to appreciate a beer with the color, the nose, the different tastes there are of beer.
All the things we don't do.
No. We just like, oh, this beer's pretty good.
I just opened it up and it tastes good to me.
That's right. It's my two favorite kinds, cold and free. Yeah. But Mike's got a really good website. I encourage you to go to it. And the way that I found this was I go to Google and occasionally and just type in beer and some other words. So I got to wondering, is there a beer game? And I went to look for beer games, and I came across one, then I came across another one, and what it turned out to be was one of the games that Mike has on his site. Mike has about 50 beer games. He's got links to all the beer games out there on the internet. He's got several of them that you can download, including Astro Beer, Beer Truck, and Yeast Man, which is a game just like Pac-Man. Astro Beer is a ripoff of Asteroids, or I guess I should say a homage to Asteroids. And Beer Truck is kind of like Spy Hunter. It's the drinking and driving game. Mm-hmm. It's very cool. So
see workplace productivity going down about 50%.
Right? Yeah, well, I was load testing the bandwidth on the internet server. That's what I was doing. I was doing that for work. But, we hope to have Mike join us on programs coming up. I encourage everybody to go to MrGoodBeer.com, visit his website, learn a little more about beer.
So let's talk to the guest who's in the room.
And let's talk to our guest. And so Thomas Gary, world-renowned homebrewer.
The guy who got me introduced into homebrewing.
That's right. So, and so we have
him. I was a Bud Light guy until...
Yeah. We have him to blame.
I had my first homebrew.
That's right. And so Tom's with us here. And Tom, tell us a little bit, how did you come about to get into Homer? What prompted you to brew your first beer?
Well, I had a friend that always wanted me to try it.
Yeah?
He had a brother that was kind of a self-doer, did everything himself, and was telling me stories of trying to do beer when he was 12 years old and
Oh, really?
And blowing tops off under his bed and things like that. So,
yeah.
Anyway, he taught his brother, and his brother's a good friend of mine. His name's Jamie Marslack, and we started, I guess, about 2 years ago.
Really? Started so, he's brewing beer when he's 12 years old?
And his brother, yeah.
Sweet.
Brother Chris.
So, now, I know there's nothing illegal about any of the ingredients that are out there for purchasing. A 12-year-old could buy them.
It's kind of scary, right. Isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But it's that, that's kind of like you can buy fertilizer and ammonium nitrate and diesel oil, and if you mix them together, you make a bomb, much like a beer. You mix together your hops and your yeast, and that's a different kind of bomb. But so I've had some of your beers, and they're just excellent beers. And, of course, it makes me very sad when I compare them to my own beer. But
have you entered any competitions, Tom?
Yeah.
Not yet, no.
No?
I'd like to.
And we referred to you last show when we were talking about barbecue and the upcoming beer. We talked a little bit about barbecue contest, and that's another area that you're interested in, much like us. And you're kind of the ringleader for getting us into barbecue contest.
Well, I work for a company that's been competing for the last 5 years in Memphis and May.
Yeah.
I don't want to say they compete. We always win best booth, but
you participate.
We participate, yeah. But we have a good time, and there's a lot of good times to be had at those little festivals.
Yeah. So we're going to try get a little
pictures of Al Roker at your booth. So
Al Roker has been to our booth. Yeah.
Well, cool.
From today's show.
Okay. So we're going to try and get a little barbecue action going around here, and hopefully have something even more to talk about down the road. So you sampled Rick's homebrew that we had earlier. What was your opinion of that?
A lot of flavors.
A lot of flavors. I thought it was very good. Rick's big on flavor.
Yeah, he likes the fruit flavors too.
Spices and fruits.
Yeah, he likes the fruity beers, and he's not afraid to admit it either.
Yeah, no.
He's in touch with his more fruity side.
Yeah, I'm a Californian.
That's right. He takes boy out of California, but. All right.
Anyway, speaking of competitions, I have the results finally from the Oktoberfest in Nashville that I submitted my beer for.
And you sent this in when?
Oh.
It was a few months back.
In October.
And which beer was it? This is the hazelnut?
It's the hazelnut nectar. And it turns out it's in the exact same category as the chocolate stout.
Okay.
Which is 21A according to the beer judges certification program.
And they scored you?
They scored me. And I'm afraid to read the score online because I have no idea if it's a good.
That's right. You got a number.
An F minus or
that's right.
Whatever.
You could be top of the pack or bottom of the heap.
I didn't win.
No telling.
The person who won in my category out of 7 entries was a guy named Phil Farrell from Cumming, Georgia, who had Chicken City Ale Razors, Lieutenant Starbucks Cafe Latte Stout.
Okay, so there was no chickens involved in the production of the beer.
No,
or
it's
razors.
Probably a club, Chicken City Ale Razors is my guess. So.
Okay.
Anyway, they won.
All right.
Anyway.
Well, good for them. Congratulations
to
them.
And when we
get
this guy.
Okay.
Mr.
Mike Snyder. Yeah. Maybe he'll give us a little pointers.
Maybe he can interpret my score and tell me if it's worth mentioning.
There you go. All right. Well, we'll look forward to that. And why don't we take another musical interlude? And this next guy coming up, you've heard of him. It's Kim Wilson. Now, you probably don't recall the name, and it's a man. It's not a woman. But you recall the band he used to be with, the Fabulous Thunderbirds. Mm. And so they were a hot band during the 80s, and they had kind of like this blues rock style. Well, Kim is actually more traditional, and so this is a song that, and again, this is all from TexasMusicGroup.com. That's TXMusicGroup.com. This is Kim Wilson, Tiger Man.
One, two, one, two, three. Tiger Man, King of the jungle, call me the Tiger Man.
got your whole life in your hand. Well, I get up in the mountain and call my bearcat back. Get up on the mountain and call my bearcat back. Here's a bearcat come running and a hound dog stay way back. You know the night starts to fall in, that's the time I prowl around. The night starts to fall in, that's the time I prowl around. Well, I ate your hound dog and run your bearcat out of school. Tiger Man, king of the jungle, call me the Tiger Man. When you cross my path, you got your whole life in your hand.
Was Kim Wilson, Tiger Man, and we're going to talk about now about Christmas and all things beer, because you know, if you're a woman shopping for a man, it's very easy to make them happy.
And this is the time of year to find your seasonal beers, the Christmas beers.
Yeah. What I was going to say is that you know, anything having to do with beer, give a man a beer, he's happy. It's that easy. So Christmas comes around and. You know, like we just said, buy them a beer. That's the easiest thing to do. But buy them a good beer. Buy something different. Take the time. Go to a liquor store. Go to a specialty store. Find something other than what you find at the grocery store or the convenience store. Because even if your gift recipient doesn't really care about beers, everybody's always interested in something new and different. So you can't go wrong doing that.
It's about quality. Quality, right. Not quantity.
Quality, not quantity. And just trying something different. You know, can't hurt. Next on the list would be beer clubs. If you've got somebody who's interested in beers, and I don't want to discriminate, it's not just men only. There's many women out there who are interested in beer. I don't know many of them. Yeah, nor do I. But I'm being politically correct. So next thing on the list would be beer clubs. Which I personally would like to be.
My neighbor's in one.
Yeah. Well, your neighbor then is probably violating several federal laws.
We won't
rat him out. But yeah. This is what I looked this up just to make sure. But there are about 9 states that technically you cannot ship beer to. And this dates back to Prohibition.
about shipping across state lines because the taxes on alcohol are regulated at the state level, not the federal level. And so that's why some states will not allow you to do interstate commerce of beer. That's it. It's based on, you know, law from the 30s. So
now, when I sent my beer into the beer competition, yep. and I don't want to rat them out either, so if the feds are listening to this, then please stop. But
turn your headphones off.
they said don't send by the U.S. Postal Service because that was illegal, but you could use one of the other fine shipping companies, for example, FedEx.
Yeah, or UPS. And you mentioned that.
Well,
and
FedEx being
Memphis prefer FedEx. So. That's right. We prefer FedEx, having worked there many years, and you're still working there.
I'm working for them, yes.
For them. But I looked it up, though. I did a little more research on that, and technically they cannot either. But you were going down the road there where label it something else. Call it
yeast samples.
Yeast samples. Call it salad dressing. Call it whatever you want. Obviously, don't use a beer box or a wine box or anything like that if you're shipping somewhere else. But the Beer of the Month clubs, they just flat won't do it.
But you're paying, I read it earlier. It's like
ridiculous.
$32 a
Yeah. Book. Yeah, I looked it up. Okay, there was this club and it had the 8-pack plan, the 12-pack plan. So the 12-pack plan, you sign up for that. 12-pack of beer is like $18. Okay, I'm good with that. And then it says, does not include shipping. I go to the shipping, and now the price with shipping is $30 for a 12-pack. So depending on where you're at, depending on how much extra spending money you've got, it's not a bad thing.
I would not be upset if someone gave me that gift.
No, not at all. I'd love to have something like that. And, of course, we've got neighboring states that I could have the beer sent there. I also had on my list beer wear. Like beer T-shirts, beer polo shirts, anything having to do with beer. And there's thousands of things out there that like that you can get. You know, anything with a beer logo. And again, no Budweiser, no Miller. Just, some be creative.
Me being a homebrewer, I put on my Christmas list supplies for homebrewing, which it looks like they're under the tree, so...
Well, good.
And Santa Claus was good to me, too.
Okay, so if you... And that's one of those things, though, that you got to tell...
Right. Well, you send them the URL. Right. You pick, say, this is what you need to go out and buy for me. So.
And I looked, but I didn't see this, but I'm sure somebody's doing it now, is gift certificates or credits. I know with the local shops, they know everybody, and you can go and talk to them, say, here, I want to give somebody $25 worth of credit to buy whatever they want to. Can't tell you for sure whether they do that on the online ones or not.
Well, I gave my dad a whole bunch of Amazon.com certificates, and he wrote me back about a year later saying, I didn't use them, and they expired, and I don't know what to do now. So
no.
It was like I was giving them to him for a couple of occasions, So.
Oh, man. So this year he's getting a donation to somebody.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
I also had on here, if it's somebody who likes beer and who maybe has a passing interest in the homebrew, a Mr. Beer Kit or a beginner beer kit is always appreciated, and it's a good way to get into it. Mr. Beer is blindingly stupid. Anyone can use this, and that's how I started, and it's easy. Beer glasses.
And as we mentioned earlier, I really didn't have a great interest in beer until I started making my own.
Right.
So.
And it does cause you to appreciate a little more, and it's just fun to do and easy, and, there's nothing like drinking your own stuff.
Yeah.
So I was saying beer glasses. I collect them. I like getting glasses with different logos on it or different kinds. And I went to a place in California called BevMo Co., Beverages and More Company, and they have all kinds of glasses, not just pint glasses with logos, but beer goblets and steins and things like that. It's always appreciated. And I had two more things on there, beer books, any beer book's good, and beer food, like cheese, sausages, wasabi chips, smoked almonds, any kind of food that goes good with beer. So that was kind of all I could come up with for a beer Christmas list.
That sounds like a good one.
Yeah. So why don't we call this a show? And,
thanks to Thomas Gary for dropping by.
Right. And you mentioned, Thomas Gary. And to Mr. Good Beer, Mike Snyder, we're looking forward to having you on the show. And we'll get the attorneys to finish the negotiations and get it all set up for you to be a part of the show.
We'll have our staff work with your staff.
That's right. But one thing you said we were going to plug, we talked about Christmas a little bit, but we're going to really get into Christmas in an upcoming show and review some very nice Christmas beers and maybe a couple of bad ones too.
So stand by for that.
Okay. Well, thanks. We'll see you next time.
Enjoy it. Drive safe.